In 1 Timothy, let's stay in chapter 1. We've read this before. I'm going to read it again tonight. 1 chapter, verse number 1. This is a salutation of Paul. We're not going to preach on that so much as we are down in there a little. But he said in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. We talked about that before. He is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, love, that is, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of all, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners. For unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, you can be seated. Our Father, tonight we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. We thank you for a copy of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you preserved it. Lord, thank you that you not only preserved it, but you planned it before the ages began and before man was ever brought forth and made out of the mud of the earth and the dust of the ground. God, we're glad that you already predetermined your word to be sent forth. Now you've revealed it and give it to man, and now you've preserved it and keeping it. And you said it wouldn't pass away, but it'd be eternal. Thank you, Lord, tonight for that promise. And thank you, Lord, tonight that we can take a copy of it and use it to bless the people of God. We'll give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you're going to do. Stir our hearts and stir the gift that's within us up that we might be what we need to be in a sin-blighted world, in a world tonight that don't care for you. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, I didn't come tonight to impress, and when I stand here before you, my job is not to impress you, but my job is to teach you. My job is to train you, to establish you on the principles of the Word of God and to strengthen you. And I pray tonight I wouldn't say anything that would discourage you, but that might encourage you tonight. And I pray as I preach this message, will what I say tonight please the Lord? Will it change hearts? Will it change my heart? Will it change yours? Will it make me better when I leave here tonight? Will it make you better? That's my desire. I believe that's what it ought to be. Will this message tonight exalt the Savior? That's the desire I have in my heart, is lift the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we haven't accomplished anything if we don't lift the Lord. Magnify Him. Will the message tonight advance the kingdom of God? That's my question as I ask myself before I start preaching it tonight. I give God the praise and the glory. Will it encourage your heart? Now, it's mentioned a little bit already, and I touched a little bit on this just saying a while ago, but there's some things tonight the devil does not like about you and me. There's a lot of things in particular that he don't like about us. But I want to give you a few things tonight that the devil will do in this year all he can to stop you from doing them. Amen. I know that. He always does it, always has. I want to deal with it. Write these down in your notes tonight. First of all, the devil's going to do all he can to fight you and make sure that you quit and do not give thanks unto God for all things. We're commanded in the Word of God to give Him thanks. Amen. I get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for being saved. Amen. Get out in the public and see some of these fellas and The older people seem to talk that way. The young people don't. I see them every once in a while. Matter of fact, I was in the elevator today, and an older gentleman and his wife was on the elevator, and I was going to go down and get in my car after I'd been to the doctor, and as I punched the button, and the elevator's a good place to speak to people. And I got on, he said, "It's going down." I said, "Well, that's where I want to be going. It's down until I die, and I'm glad I'm going up." And he looked at me, and she looked at me, and his wife, he didn't say nothing, but his wife said, "Sounds like a good plan." That's all she said. Then the elevator opened, and I went on. I said, "Y'all have a good day." But I'm telling you tonight that I want to give thanks. You go in a place of business, and I see some of these men, and I say, "How you doing this morning?" They said, "Well, I'm still above ground. Still breathing," they'll say. And I say, "Praise God." That's giving thanks, isn't it? Amen. I'm glad I can get up and be busy about the Father's business. God has been good to me down through the years, but the devil, he don't want me to give thanks. He'll stop you. You know that's the reason we're not as thankful? Somebody said, "Well, that's because we're spoiled." It's because the devil tonight don't want you to give thanks, and he'll do everything he can to keep you from giving thanks unto God. We ought to give him thanks in everything. Most of the time we're down in the mouth about it all. Things happen and come our way, and we'll say, "Oh boy," and we'll have a pity party, and we'll think everything's looking rough and gloomy and dark and terrible. But I want you to know tonight, just being saved by the grace of God, if we get up in the morning and realize that we are saved, and if you are, you can praise him for him, give him thanks. And of course, I'd understand tonight, if you're not saved, you can't give him thanks. You don't understand anything about it. But I pray this year that God keep me ever mindful of giving thanks unto God for all things. Not just some things, but all things. All things work together for good, them that love God, is what the Bible said. And I pray that this year I'll give him more thanks than I've ever given for everything that he does to me and for me and through me. Amen. We ought to be giving him thanks. Now the devil don't want you to give thanks. Secondly, put this on your list. Another thing, he don't want you to praise God. Amen. He don't want you to praise him. Amen. Have you ever just got up and said, "Thank you, Lord, and I want to praise you and give you glory and honor"? How often has it been, or how long has it been since you got on your knees and said, "Lord, I just want to come to you this morning or today and call up on your name and tell you that I love you. Tell you that I thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and you mean so much to me, and I love you, I believe you can tell all three." Amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, that you love them. How long has it been since you said, "God the Father, I love you and thank you tonight for sending your Son to die on the cross of Calvary and giving me eternal life"? How long has it been since you got down on your knees and said, "Lord Jesus, I want to praise you and thank you and tell you I love you today because that you died for me, gave yourself freely on the cross of Calvary, and let me have eternal life through you"? How long has it been since you got down and said, "Holy Spirit, I love you for guiding me, directing me, and leading me"? I believe you ought to give them praise tonight. I believe you ought to give God praise. The whole book of Psalms, David had something about it. He knowed it. He knowed a little bit about praising God, and he done it. And he's taught us that. He let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and we ought to praise him. But the devil will do everything. Have you found out it's hard to thank God? Have you noticed that? It's just hard to thank him, isn't it? Hey, you really thank God, don't you? How many of you thank God for everything? Amen, sure you do. But isn't it hard sometimes to say it? How long's it been? How easy is it for you just to thank God? The devil tries to get us from that. Did you know the more you thank him and the more you praise him, it'll change your life and heart, and it'll make some things different in your life too as well. You need to praise him. You need to thank him. Number three, amen, we need to adore him or worship him. How long has it been since you could really come to the house of God and worshiped him? We come to the house of God, we sung some good songs tonight. I sit there and looked at them songs. But you know, sometimes we come to the house of God, we'll sing songs and we just sing them for the lyrics. We sing them for some of the words and see how we do it. You know, if we're singing alto or we're singing bass or we're singing what lead, whatever we're singing, we'll look at them things and we try to see how many times you come to church and you just thought, "Well, how good I'm going to try." And you look at it and nobody else may say it. Nobody else may think it. But somehow you looked at it and said, "I've done a pretty good job on that." Amen. Sometimes you think you're hitting the notes just right. Sometimes you know you hit them sour. Sometimes you know they don't go along right, because sometimes they turn around and look at you. But I want to tell you tonight, we know as a general rule, we begin to look at things and we'll sing songs and sometimes don't even know what we sung when we got through. It's kind of like driving. You can drive to Gainesville and you'll come back up the road, get in, you say, I don't remember going past that, don't remember going around that, don't remember that old curve, but you just do it automatically. And we come to the house of God sometimes, and that's the way our worship is. It's kind of automatic. We put ourselves on autopilot when we come here, and we just go through the ritual. We know when to start it, and we know when to stop it, and we just say we had a good time when we have not adored Him and have not worshiped Him and magnified Him and exalted Him by coming to the house of God. You know why that's that way? Because the devil don't want us to worship Him. The devil don't want you to praise Him. The devil don't want you to thank God. The devil don't want you to worship God. He'll do everything he can. Amen. I'll tell you right now, when you're sitting there, you'll see somebody else. Somebody will cough. Somebody will sneeze. Somebody will drop a cane. Amen. Every once in a while or something. And it'll cause conflict at the house of God. Get our minds off of worship. Get our minds off Jesus. Get our mind. Some kid will fall out of the seat. Amen. Or mama and daddy will drop a set of keys or something. I'm just making up things. But that does happen. Amen. Or somebody's got to get a manicure and pop their fingernails. I take that clip, 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 clip. Amen. It bothers me to hear somebody with clippers? Fingernail clippers. And here they are clipping their fingernails. Amen. After they get through that, sometimes I wonder if they're going to start on their toes. But anyhow, I'm telling you tonight, we let everything under the sun get us to the place that gets our minds off, and the devil's going to do what he can tonight to cause us to quit praising, quit rejoicing in the Lord and thanking Him and worshiping Him. Number four, I'll tell you something else the devil hates and despises. That is for a child of God to pray. He don't want us to pray. Hey, I'm talking about some things tonight is some of the hardest things for a child of God to do. Did you know what I'm talking about? It's hard for a child of God to thank God like they ought to. It's hard for a child of God to praise God like they ought to. It's hard for a child of God to worship like they ought to. We're so distracted, and the devil keeps us distracted. And it's hard for us to pray like we ought to pray. You know good and well tonight, every one of us in here don't pray like we ought to pray. Some pray more than others, and I'm not in here to try to brag on who prays more or try to get any glory for somebody that's praying more. But I'm saying tonight, the devil don't want any of us to pray, and none of us pray like we ought to. And there's a Cain, amen. Amen, didn't even get out of my mouth. Here's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. The devil does not, will not want us to pray. He don't want us to pray. He'll get us involved in everything under the sun. Amen. You start praying, and guess what happens? The telephone will ring. Lots of times we pray with the saints down here before we get started. And sometimes in the morning we get started. And about the time I get started praying, the telephone rings. Did you know a telephone ringing will take your mind off of the Lord, especially if you're doing the praying? The next thing the devil says, it's important. This is an important thing. I mean, here's a serious thing. This is an emergency. You better get that prayer stopped off. You better get it cut short just a little bit. And so you'll do it. You'll cut your prayer short, and you answer it and find out it was wrong number. Devil don't care. Amen. He'll do anything he can to keep you from praying. You start praying, somebody knock on the door. You start praying and somebody will call you. Amen. I'm not talking about on the phone. They'll call you. Amen. Might be your spouse. And they'll call you. Amen. Speak to you. Brother, pray. The devil does not want you to pray. The devil does not want me to pray. The more he can keep us from the throne of grace, brother, the happier he becomes. And he knows if we get to the throne of grace, it's going to help us. He knows if we stay in communion with God, because when we're talking to God, brother, I'll tell you what, we're in fellowship. Amen. I want to be in fellowship with the throne of God. I like to get around the presence of the Lord, don't you? And the way God has got that designed in the Bible is for me to pray. And when I come to Him, I can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. And brother, when you get in the throne room of God, it's a glorious place to be. But the devil don't want you to be there. The devil tried to do all he can this year to keep you from praying. Amen. Number five. Brother, the devil don't want you to study. He don't want you to read the Word of God. Amen. Miss Burrow mentioned that just a little bit before. And I said, I know I got the message. That's right on target of what God wanted tonight. What I'm saying is the devil will do all he can this year to keep you out of the Word of God. He don't want you to study it. He don't want you to read it. He don't want you to open it. He don't care how much you tote it. He don't care how many you got stacked up on top of each other. He don't care at all about that. Just as long as you don't read it. And then on top of that, study it. Amen. We not only need to read it, but we need to study the Word of God. That's what he said. Amen. And we'll give you some things. I believe we ought to read it, and I believe we ought to study it. We got scriptures on both of them. I may have time to give you some of that tonight. But as I look at this, I want you to know that the devil does not want us to study the Word of God. And he'll do everything he can, this church as a whole. He'll get us the place he don't want us to give thanks. The devil get us the place he don't want us to give praise. The devil get us the place that he don't want us to worship. And we get the place that worship just is just a little old ritual to go through. He gets the place he don't want us to pray. He gets us the place he don't want us to read and study the Word of God. He don't want you to know more about the Lord. He wants to keep you from the book. Amen. I'll give you some reasons for that in just a minute. But I'll say this. Brother, you better fight that with all your heart. You better stand up. Number six. Something else the devil does not want you to do and he'll keep you from, and that's witnessing to other men and women. He does not want you to tell the world what Christ has done for you. He don't want you to witness. He does not want you to tell them about the saving grace of God. He does not want you to do that. Brother, isn't witnessing a hard thing for a Christian? Yes, it is. You said, I don't know them. It don't make no difference. They go either going to heaven or hell when they die. And you may be the instrument. You might be the key. You might be the person that God's going to use. You might be the vessel God can use to bring that person to the knowledge of the truth and bring them to thinking on the things of God. Amen. Think about that tonight. As we look at it, I'll tell you right now, he does not want us to witness. He don't want us to pass out literature. That's a hard thing sometimes to do, isn't it? Amen. I know I've been in this thing a long, long time, and it's not easy. Brother, sometimes we get in predicaments and we'll fail to witness when the Holy Spirit's sometimes even speaking to us and the devil gets the victory. Hey, I want you to know the devil don't want you to witness. And amen. Number seven, I'll tell you what the devil don't want you to do. He not only don't want you to witness, but he don't want you to live godly and holy. Amen. He'll do everything he can to make you bring reproach upon the cause of Christ. He'll get you the place that he does not want you to be an example of righteousness. He wants you to be a bad testimony. He will give you a bad conversation if you're not careful. And brother, what you need to do is get the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Get on your knees before God and say, I'm determined in my heart that we're not going to allow the devil to take all these things away from us, and we're going to become what God wants us to be and be strong and stalwart and straightforward for God. Amen. Now let me give you something. Satan tonight, I want you to know this, he works the same way with lost people as he does with Christians in this manner that I'm fixing to talk about tonight. Do you know what the devil does to sinners? He don't get them the place of, he don't want them to praise God or worship God or thank God because they don't know God. They can't do that anyhow. But what he does three basic things in an unbeliever's life. And I'm going to turn these around to the Christian in just a minute. Number one, he wants to keep them from the truth. Whatever the devil can do to keep an unbeliever from learning the truth of God and knowing what the Bible says, he'll do it. Therefore, he does not want them to be under the preaching of the Word of God. He will do all he can to get them out from under the preaching of the Word of God. And if they do hear the Word of God, he tries to do some things in their hearts and minds to get their mind off the real truth. Amen. I'm serious tonight. That's why it's important we get sinners in the house of God, that all the saints of God start praying and seeking the face of the Lord and praying that all the hindrances be drawn away, and that that individual can hear the Word of God and get under the conviction. Hey, the unbeliever don't need to be attracted or distracted from hearing the truth of the Word of God. He needs to be under the preaching of the Word of God. It's through the preaching that God saves men and women. You know that as well as I do. So the unbeliever, he tries to keep him from the truth. While he's hearing the preaching of the Word of God, the devil's on his case saying, that's not, how can that be? That's not really so. That's not really real. This is not really important. And he's trying to work on their heart. Remember when you was lost and undone without God? It brought a lot of questions. Now, I read something here tonight out of the Word of God, and it said, neither give heed to fables in his genealogy, which minister what? Questions. Brother, the preacher of the Word of God will take away them questions, but the devil will put all he can and question of what the man of God is preaching so that he can get the sinner off the mind of, or get God off the mind of the sinner, because he won't get under conviction. Number two, what he'll do is he'll begin to feed lies to that individual, especially about the future. I've got plenty of time, the devil will tell him. They'll say, you've got plenty of time, you're going to live a long life, and you put it off. Hey, the devil never tells a sinner tonight, hey, I don't want you to get saved. The devil don't tell him that. The devil don't put his arm around the lost sinner and say, I'm taking you to hell, there's nothing you can do about it. He don't do that. He just says, hey, you got a lot of living to do. You got a lot of life to live. Hey, one of these days you can get right with God, but now you got a lot of life to live. He tries to do them that way, and he gets them off the beaten path of knowing the truth. And so what he tries to do is tell them, hey, you got plenty of time, everything's all right. And anyhow, all you got to do is be a good person. All you got to do is join the church, be baptized. And he'll feed them a lot of lies, and he'll take that. And listen, we got unbelievers tonight that are so confused. And many of them have been confused because the church folks who claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ and are not saved have lived a life in front of them that's caused them to think that. Amen. I said this the other day, and I'm right. I know I am. Amen. You can go knocking on the doors down here all you want to in this county, and knock on door after door after door, and I'll guarantee you 95% of the people in Habersham County will tell you they're saved by the grace of God, but their life does not back it up. Amen. They'll live in sin all week long, sometimes grab a Bible, go down to the house of God, sit there, don't know how to praise God because they don't know God. They don't know how to thank God because they don't know God. They don't know how to worship God because they don't know how to worship. They don't know how to pray because they don't know God. They don't know how to read the Bible, and it's just a book to them. It's not authoritative to them. Brother, it's not a book that stands up there to them. Thank God, I'm glad this book is alive forevermore. Amen. Brother, it's taught me, and it gets me going. It's my only hope. Amen. Matter of fact, I don't have any time for anything else. Thank God for the Word of God. And I look at that. So that's what happens. So the third thing he does to the lost people is he keeps them occupied with doings and deeds. If you can get, listen, we've got a lot of church folks in America that's in the church house doing mighty deeds and great deeds and good deeds. You find this especially in your mega churches, you find it in your little churches like ours too. Brother, whether we get involved, people get involved. They get involved in certain things, and the devil keep you involved. He'll keep you going, doing deeds and all kinds of things. And when he gets you involved in those things, he gets your mind off of God. And brother, he puts your mind on the things that you're doing. Now, let's turn this around a little bit. How does God, or how does the devil work against you and me who are coming to the house of God and are saved by the grace of God? Number one, he wants to keep us from the truth. He can keep us from the truth. He'll get us out of the Word of God, not study. We won't know the truth. The Bible talks about the Word of God being real and authoritative and forever. And then he talks about he puts it in the church. And the church, the Bible said, is the pillar and the ground of truth. Brother, we're in the church tonight, and the church is where we learn. Brother, this is God's higher institution of learning. God never instituted anything on the face of the earth. I'll say this tonight, and you may not agree with it, but it don't make no difference really. You haven't got no Bible to back you up on it. But brother, God established a church to train and teach every born again believer. Amen. You say, well, it's what he's got the colleges for. Show me where God instituted them. Show me. Amen. I'm glad we've got universities and colleges that can help us and learn things. But I want to tell you, you know who is supposed to teach the world? And I'm not talking about the world of sin. I'm talking about the world full of believers. Who is supposed to teach the believers? The church. Brother, this is where we get our education. If you don't get your education from the house of God, brother, you're at the wrong place. I'm going to tell you tonight, that's exactly how God instituted. God set the church up to teach us And if we're going to learn anything about God, it's going to be down at the church house with God's people and God's men. Amen. God ordained that. I didn't. Amen. I appreciate that too, don't you? Now, I'm glad for people that's taught me things. But I'll tell you what, those people that's taught me things have been men, brother, that's been down through the years, and they've been in the church. And what my education and the scriptures come from is through the church, by grace, through faith, by the Spirit of God. Amen. I want you to know that's how I've got it. It's from the Word of God. Brother, through the church. And I give God the glory for that. Amen. Well, the devil tries to keep us from that truth. The devil don't want you to learn anymore. He'll give you a closed mind if you're not careful this year. He'll get you the places you think you done know it all. He'll get you the place that you think, hey, I've got enough of that. And I don't want no more. I believe I've met a few people said, I've had enough of the Bible, and they went home. Amen. I don't know what happens to some of them. Amen. But I want to tell you, I don't get enough. I'm still hungry for the Word of God. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe that's the way a child of God ought to be. Now, if you can get up in the morning and decide that you can pass off breakfast, and I believe you can. Don't you believe tomorrow you can pass off breakfast and not eat it? You said, preacher, I won't even think that that's my best meal of the day. But you know good and well you can not eat tomorrow. You can pass breakfast, can't you? I know good and well tonight that some of you can pass breakfast and then come along and pass dinner too, or lunch, in the modern day. Amen. And then you can go on. And matter of fact, I want you to know, everybody in this building can miss all three meals tomorrow. We can. I hear somebody said, I ain't. I understand that. I'm probably not either. If I stay true to form of what I've been doing, amen, I won't miss a meal tomorrow. You understand where I'm going and what I'm talking about? And I guess most of us could get up the next day and we can miss three more meals. And listen to our stomach growl and gripe and get hungry. But somewhere down the road, you're going to start getting weak. Somewhere down the road, you're going to be so hungry and you'll get... Brother, I want to tell you, you can die by not eating. I found that out, don't you? Amen. Did you know that? I want to make sure I don't do that, so I eat. God put that, and I can get up in the morning and I can go get me something to eat, or my wife can fix me something to eat, and I can sit there and I can just eat and eat and eat, and I can get, have you ever eat a breakfast? I mean, sometimes a good breakfast is, yeah, and I've done this, eat a breakfast and say, hey, I'm so full, I don't believe I'll ever eat a meal again. How many has ever eat a meal and said, I don't believe I'll ever want anything to eat again? All right, now some of you didn't raise your hand. I know good and well you just didn't want to admit it. But we've had some meals and we didn't. We got, boy, I don't believe all that. Whew, somebody said, hey, how about something else to eat? I said, oh, I don't want no more. You'd feel like it'd make you sick if you eat one more bite. And you wouldn't want. But I'll guarantee you, let that go for about 3 or 4 hours. And guess what? Amen. Here we are again. We're back at the trough. Got to have something to eat. Now, I want to tell you something. That's exactly what God wants you as a child of God to do about the Word of God. He wants you to read the Word and study it, and then it develops such an appetite on the inside of your soul that you don't want to go mealtime after mealtime with it, but you want to desire it and have that. The Bible said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. As a newborn child of God, He puts that desire in you. Amen. I see some of these people out in the places to eat. They'll be at different places. And I say, boy, last time I seen you, they said, yeah, we've all got the same habit, haven't we? Yep, we got the same habit. All of us eat. But that's the way we ought to be about the Word of God. But the devil wants to keep us from doing that because he knows if he does, he can keep us from the truth and we won't learn anything about the Word of God and we'll be weak and anemic. Amen. Amen. My wife went down to the doctor there and they said she's anemic. That's been some time back. And they put her on, and we was talking about this the other day, and they put her on a little iron pill. give her a little iron pill. Said, take one of these a day. And she kept taking them and got it checked again. It was on a borderline, kept her taking them. And I got to seeing them, one over here and one over there and one over here. And I looked at her and I said, what about these pieces? She said, I don't want to take them no more. Amen. My wife's her own doctor sometimes. But she didn't like them, don't want them. But them little old iron pieces, I believe tonight if God checked our spiritual life, some of us would be anemic. We need to be on the iron. And brother, that's going to the Word of God and getting what we need for our help. Oh, God, give me a desire for the Word of God. I pray, God, give me a craving for the Word of God. Amen. My wife, we was trying to have a family, and all three of our children, when they come along, she'd get to craving something. And I've had to get up a few times and go down to the store and get something. She sent me that. She wanted Coca-Cola. And I go down and get a Coca-Cola. And she wanted it in a certain bottle. And I come back with the wrong one. She said, ain't what I wanted. You crave something. She's craving. And you get a craving for it. Amen. Some of us get cravings for certain foods every once in a while, don't we? Yeah, we do. And brother, what we need to do is get a craving for the Word of God. I pray we crave it. Amen. Sometimes I get out of the study and I want to go back to the study. Get back in the study again where I can read and study the Word of God again. The devil, he tries to tell us everything. And he'll get us to the place not only to keep us from the truth, but secondly, he'll get us to the place tonight to make him think us about the future. The future. And lies about the future. Amen. This won't do you no good, but yes, it will do us good. The Word of God will help us. Amen. We'll grow strong in the Lord, or we'll be weak in the Lord. Then He'll try to keep us occupied with just doings and doing things and deeds in the church. And He gets us involved. Amen. He's sending a little helicopter around now to do that right now. Amen. Whatever that is out there. Some of you wondering what's happening. I know you are. Amen, because the preacher is too. But I'm telling you, the devil knows how to send things by to get our attention off what we hear and see. Are you with me? Brother, that's what he wants to do. But I want you to look at something tonight. I want to challenge you with this. I want you to turn over into chapter number 6 of the book of 1 Timothy. I'm skipping a whole lot because I don't have time. Time's about to get us. But I want us to look at chapter 6 and verse number 6. Hurriedly it said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content to be godly. You know that? The Bible said if you have a desire to be godly, and if it's with contentment, he said it's with great gain. We'll have some gain. Brother God will help us. It'll strengthen. It'll be a great gain to get that. Verse number 7, it said, for we brought nothing into this world. You believe that, don't you? And it is certain we can carry nothing out. But there will be some things that go out with us. I believe an unbeliever go into hell with his memory. He didn't bring it in this world, but he'll take it out and go into hell. Amen. Then it said, in having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's a lot of things I could say there, but I'm going to go on down. I want to touch something else. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. There's a lot of preaching there. Look at verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Beloved, that's what I want to do. We're in a battle tonight. And I want to stay harnessed up. I want to stay where God wants me to be for His glory and His honor. I'll give you this in closing. In the book of Genesis in chapter 25, you won't have to turn there, but just think of the story. There was a warfare going on. And God told through Jacob's wife, told her, said, you're going to have twins. And they're going to fight. They're going to be two nations. And they're going to constantly be in fight. And that's right. See, in the first chapter of the book of Timothy, there's two things they had a problem with. One, they had a problem of getting off on wrong doctrines. Believing them wives' fables. Fables. What's fables? Untrue stories. They got off the gospel. He said, Timothy, you tell them to stay on the gospel. The second thing they done is trying to bring themselves back under the law. And he said, the law is not for the man that's right, but it's for the man that breaks the law. Amen. You folks that drive 55 mile an hour and you know that you get a ticket if you don't, you don't have to have a sign out there to tell you. You just do it. Amen. But some of these lawless people have to have that sign. Have to tell them. Now, that you decide how far that goes in your life. Amen. But I'm saying to you tonight, the law, there's none of those two things, the law. Two nations born to be born in your womb. Esau, and what's the other? Jacob. There they were. And Esau was the firstborn. And the elder had to serve the younger because of what happened, which is out of the ordinary. And you find tonight that those same things are going on in the world today. That's why we got the war between the Arabs and the Jewish. This war still going on. But the same thing is with you and me. We have a war with the flesh. Amen. And the devil. We have that war going on. The inner man, if you want to, we'll look at it from another standpoint. From the inner man and the outer man, we have a war. The outer man, he wants to walk according to what this world says. The inner man walks according to the things of God. And there's a warfare there tonight. And we look at that, we'll have it all our days. And I want to challenge you tonight as a child of God, do not let the devil have the victory and keep you from the Word of God, keep you from thanking Him, thank you from praising Him, thank you from worshiping Him, thank you for living for Him, studying and praying, and walking that holy life. Don't you allow the devil to get the victory and defeat your life tonight. I challenge this church tonight, do not let the devil work overtime in your heart to split us up and tear us apart. Brother, the devil would love to do that tonight. Everyone of our, in our, not only in our hearts, but in our homes and in our church. Amen. Heads bowed. I challenge you with those things. I pray God will work on you on overtime. Get you where you need to be tonight. But you wouldn't allow the devil to do anything to hurt or hinder or to destroy the things of God. Isn't the Lord good? Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. Amen. We'll ask you tonight to stand. Where you're there at your seat, as you stand, they begin to play. Why don't you just ask God, Lord, don't let the devil give me victory. Give me peace. Allow me to stand true, firm, faithful, strong. Help me to stand tall.